God is alive and powerful, sharpening the two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing in the center, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, and does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in the doctrine of Satan and satanic cooters, counterfeits. Pick up Roman numeral 3, page 3. All right, we don't want to be a POW under Satan's camp. It demands that we employ the rebound technique in regards to our personal sin in life. The application of 1 John 1:9 is what gives us God the Holy Spirit in His filling role and rulership over the real you in order to isolate the sin nature and therefore its evil influence, not be part of regards to what we do at that point in time in our lives. And it is in this condition of spirituality that the believer priest is able to ascertain and perceive the truth of Bible doctrine purely as it is so intended in this regard. So as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for providing the victory over the sin nature, its influence, regards to our lives, through our positive volition and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this respect. We ask you bless us once again this evening as we employ this grace apparatus perception in the vein this evening and to study this doctrine, albeit God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, pick up here in the doctrine of Satan and his alternatives to Bible doctrine, counterfeits. Roman numeral 3, page 3 of our notes, picks up with the creation of Satan. Satan being the openly declared archenemy of God, the pinnacle of evil, the, if you will, source and provision of information, etc., which evil finds its basis in regards to all we do. Obviously, with respect to the individual, this relates to their sin nature and their willingness to let their sin nature rule in their lives. Roman numeral 3 here, we begin with the creation of Satan among doctrines that people don't know. Obviously, the myths surrounding Satan, you can expect to be many. As he tried to destroy the truth, even in regard to his own work, his own person, in this respect, the time of his creation. One, Satan, like all other angels, was created by God in eternity past, prior to the creation of the universe. Ezekiel 28:13 tells us that he was in Eden when God restored the planet, the Garden of God. This obviously implies that he existed beforehand. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. So he is a created being of the angelic class, specifically the cherub class. And angels, as we know through the next point, were created before even the original heavens and earth. So too, he, along with the other angels, was a worshiping spectator who observed the creation of the heavens and the earth. Job 38:4-7. Clears the air in regards to the timing of angels being created before the original creation, not sometime afterwards, etc. Job 38. 4 through 7. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." Obviously, sarcasm, sanctified sarcasm, is behind that statement. For where were you, for those who think they know better than God, have better insight than what His Word reveals in truth in this respect? Where were you, and the question is laid to him rhetorically, when I laid the foundation of the earth? This looks at the pillars of terra firma, our very planet. The foundations is creating it and placing it in an orbit, or is placed in the stellar space spectrum. Hence, it looks at the concept, invention, if you will, by God of gravity, keeping things in place otherwise in that respect. Tell me if you have understanding. Who sets its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? 7, then he gives the timing in regards to this original creation. When the morning stars sang together. Morning stars is a name, a description used for the angelic host, and this being all the angels and all the sons of God, another title used, as we've already seen in Genesis, in regards to the angelic host, shouted for joy. So the sequence of existence, obviously God, who's always existed, then you have angels, then you have, and they, obviously, their main residence is in the third heaven, pre-fall, for all of them. And then you had the universe with our planet. Our planet came under judgment. God turned the lights off in the universe for a period of time. And that is due to the angelic revolt that occurred, of which Satan heads at that point in time. And then in Genesis, verse 2 and following, we see the earth being laid out as a wasteland, and then its restoration. That is the primary account given us in chapter 1 of Genesis. It's amazing how few believers even know that aspect in regards to creation. As a fundy, I was never taught that. And I mean, I was in a fundy church my whole life. I went to every Sunday school. I went to every prayer meeting. I had a lot of emotions that I learned how to reflect them and manifest them and manipulate with them and all these other good things. But the truth, if you got a little inkling here and there, you were fortunate. But anyway, God created, then He judged the planet based on activities of Satan and certain angels that followed him. And then the planet was restored to bring about the element of human history and the creation of man that will then resolve the angelic conflict, with man being on the list, the created order in this vein. So the angels were around. This was obviously quite a spectacle and quite an amazing thing for them to witness God to create out of nothing this universe in which we live. Obviously, this is something brand new to them. What he created had matter in regards to its very existence in that respect. Something different than you would normally experience in a spiritual realm. And they all pretty much applauded God's blessing placed upon them. It is generally accepted among conservative theologians that the purpose of the creation was, if you will, as a playground for the angels, something to entertain them with, you know, something like a Jurassic World in our realm to entertain us in the large natural zoo environment in that regards, prehistoric. But here for the angels. So three, since he was created before the earth, it is obvious that this was prior to the creation of man. So the timing, we can't put a date on it, obviously. How long they've been in existence before all this occurred, your guess is as good as mine. We'll find out one of these days. But we do know it was before the creation of the original universe, original heavens and earth. So B, now the nature of his creation. Satan, contrary to popular belief, was not created evil. And the other mythology attached to his appearance of being grotesque, ugly, things of this nature. First and foremost, what's important to understand, as it is with all the angelic beings, is one, he was created with volition. With volition. The Isaiah 14 chapter, verses 13 and 14, denotes his five I wills. And we'll have a chance to look at them again closer here in the notes. But the fact that he determines, sets a premeditated course of choice in regards to his agenda, which that occurs, obviously, post-fall for Satan. Denotes that he has freedom of will. God creates all this higher creation, both angelic and man, with free will, called volition. The freedom to choose, to believe what one wants to believe, to line up with God or to reject God and line up with the other alternative system available in the order of creation, and that is the satanic or human viewpoint position of belief. So the angelic creation, including Satan, was created with souls, with will in regards to their angelic beings. Obviously, they were created in a perfect environment. So, two, he was created perfectly righteous, without a sin nature. It doesn't mean that God created him hardwired in his angelic brain computer with all the doctrine. He learned doctrine. As time goes on, angels still continue to learn doctrine. As history progresses, part of God's plan, increments of God's plan, is revealed to the angels that was not necessarily previously known. See, in that regards, but as far as his being of nature, he was righteous. He did not have a sin nature. He was full of wisdom. Again, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 is two primary passages that give us good insight in regards to Satan. Tells us this very fact. 28:15, you were blameless in your ways. Continuing on, as his position is noted in verse 14, we read 13, as the anointed cherub who covers or guards, and his position was on the holy mountain of God. This is in the third heaven throne room, if you will, where God chooses to manifest his person. He walked in the midst of stones of fire. It'd be interesting to know exactly what that is. It obviously has something to do with God's righteousness and justice, as it would be expressed. But verse 15, for our intents and purposes here, you are blameless in your ways from the day you were created. So he is created perfectly in a righteous state. This is what you would expect from a God who is perfect. God does not and did not create imperfection. He did not create immorality. He did not create sin. That came about through the existence of free will in regards to the creatures of whom he created with a soul. And it is no different than when he created Adam and Eve sinless. He created all the angels sinless. But obviously, the principle of volition kicks in, and Satan chose to get under pride in a self-exaltation, exalting, a self-exalting of this person based on his position, his beauty. You would not find a more fabulous looking, mesmerizing individual in the angelic host than this one, Lucifer, in his pre-fall name. And he held essentially a position of probably highest esteem, and he let it get to his head. See how easy arrogance can crop in. And this points to the fact that he had volition, and in spite of a perfect environment, in spite of all that God had done for him, he chose rather to rebel against God and to embrace himself, rejecting God otherwise, in a term of self-servitude, self-exalting in regards to his person. And when he did that, verse 15, that is a point until unrighteousness was found in you. The unrighteousness is regards to when he chose to go that route in spite of what otherwise the perfection of which he lived in, then unrighteousness became the dominant factor in regards to his very nature. And obviously we have somewhat of a comprehension in regards to the sin nature in regards to human bodies being part of our DNA makeup, being part of the flesh, etc. How this came about, the mechanics in regards to it for the angelic host is something that you just have to wait to find out exactly how that would work. But it did occur. And that it is in you recognizes that it was part of his being as an angel in that regards. And that then, in the conditions of a perfect state otherwise, in a perfect environment, Satan, in no uncertain terms, created evil. So, he figured out how to create something that God wouldn't or couldn't, and that is evil. But, unfortunately, it is a creation that goes completely against God's grain of morality and righteousness, which is absolute, and it demands justice to be dealt with. Yes, God knew he would do this from eternity past, just like he knows all things. That's his foreknowledge, an aspect of his omniscience, that he knows all things. God doesn't learn. We're not some book that he's learning out of, some science experiment. No, he's always known. To wrap your mind around the vast comprehension of this type of intellect is impossible, really, in our finite state. But yet we can understand the concept. And he's always known. But that doesn't mean because he knew that he was the author of what he, the evil that came out of Satan in this regard. No, he created perfectly. Just like you may know what the Knicks lottery numbers are in regards to the big lottery deal, but doesn't mean you cause those numbers to be picked. You know. And God just knows, see. But the fact that he does know to that degree, to that sophistication, he can obviously devise a plan addressing all the contingencies that might otherwise be damaging or a threat to his plan in that vein. And God wanted to create, in regards to higher creation, beings that would embrace him and accept him on their own free accord. He did not create robots. He didn't want to create robots. What does that prove? See, there's a big lesson in the principle of volition that's occurring on this planet right now. And most people will not learn from that lesson. Some will. See. And it has everything to do in regard to very existence, our existence, angelic existence, and the existence of the universe now and for all eternity. So God did not want to create robots. He wanted to create free beings, just like you want your child to love you as a parent on its own. I say it not in disrespect, but to cover both sexes. So God wanted to create higher beings to accept him. And when you think about the perspective of Satan choosing to do this, in spite of everything else, the environment, his person, the manifestation of God, etc., ought to give you some insight in regards to the power of volition and here negative volition. This is just the way negative volition is. It's just a part of the soul that is expressed in regards to man and angels that rejects God, disregards it. Disregards him, his word, etc. And becomes, if you will, completely and totally selfish in regards to what it wants to embrace and exalt, etc. So he was created perfectly righteous without a sin nature, but obviously he was created with volition. Three, as we have been noting and as we've read, he was the most beautiful, intelligent, and impressive of the angelic host. That's verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, we read earlier, at an earlier class, he had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. People think they're good looking. When the Bible says something's perfect in beauty, it just blow your socks off. To look at something, what reaction you'd have, just guess, to see something like this. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. So he had, if you will, exceptional brain-computer function, as we would understand them, the workings of a brain, intelligence. And his appearance is not a two-horned, long-horn-tailed red bean. It is something that would sweep humanity off its feet in regards to how easily man is swayed by appearance of things. So he had everything going for him. And he chose to check it. And unfortunately, that's just a magnified view in regards to people that get on doctrine and they stay with doctrine for a while and then they leave it. They have everything going for them while they maintain their NPR, but then they decide to chuck it. See? Get their eyes on themselves, get into their own form of pride and arrogance, and the next thing you know, you're on the opposing side of God's plan. For God appointed him to a position of highest honor and privilege. He was the anointed cherub, as we would say, a guardian type of angel that guarded access to the throne room of God. That is the perception. You have the four living creatures that are part of the throne itself. Which are unique creatures in the angelic host. But Satan at this point in time, he was the one that held the position of highest esteem. Ezekiel 28:14. You come to see God, the first thing that hits your eyes is this unbelievable, magnificent, beautiful creature. which probably the very appearance of the sea and everything would just blow your mind. You'd be so impressed there, you'd stop. But that's not even close to God, see. So that's kind of a cool setup, if you ask me, in regard to God's throne. So, 5, he lived in regal splendor, clothed in glamour. Again, those were verses 13 and 14. All the precious stones, the gems, precious metals. These things were all part of the mechanics of his working being. Our frail human bodies with our joints, our tendons that can be easily broken, destroyed, ruptured, displaced, arthritis set in. His joints and stuff were made out of gold, metals that are just unbelievable. And you can, it's like a most magnificent clock working, if you've ever seen inside of clocks or watches. The really good ones. And those things can blow your mind just looking at their workings. Well, there you have a smattering, an idea in regards to Satan's being and manifestation of his person in a physical way. Angels can manifest themselves physically. 6, another aspect that's attributed to him. He was capable of making great music. He was a fantastic musician. Talent coming out of the kazoo, did he not? And obviously, this is where believers, and rightly so, often associate music that's SCA generated, associated with satanic influence. Again, back to the other primary passage, Isaiah 14, verse 11. Your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. So, you don't think he doesn't have the talent, the ingenuity, the draw physically to distract people in regards to life in and of itself? In his person, that manifests, truly exemplifies all the distractions of the cosmos otherwise that people gravitate towards. And want for themselves, etc. So that's the nature of his creation. See, his personality, he is a person. One, Satan is not merely the personification of evil or an evil force that somehow came into being, like the yin of the yang deal. He is a real person. 2, he is real and personal, manifesting characteristics of higher intelligence. The volition again brought out in Isaiah 12 through 14, in his 5 I wills. B, his intelligence, as we saw in Ezekiel 28, verse 12, full of wisdom. See, his speech. Obviously, we have the account in Job as he seeks audience before God, but also we have his communication with Christ in the wilderness temptations. And Matthew, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recorded some of the words that were communicated between Christ and Satan. The tempter here, Satan known as the tempter, if you are a son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he speaks again in verse 6, if you are a son of God, as we've thrown out, there is no definite article. Satan is being sarcastic, contentious, trying to get a reaction out of Jesus. He knows he's the Son of God. But that's not the way to approach it. You know, part of growing up in life is not letting people get under your skin so easy. This one would have got under my skin enough. But, you know, to try to get him under sin anger. It does not work. A Son of God. And then he gives him the proposition, throw yourself down. And then he quotes Scripture. That is taken out of context, as the fundies love to do, and tries to apply it to the situation. And Jesus has to line him back out, or he does, in regards to the correct approach. And then verse 9, in his declaration of giving him everything, if you will fall down and worship me. So, Jesus, obviously, he's without a sin nature, but he battles with the defense of Bible doctrine in all cases. He doesn't have a host of elect angels there at this point in occasion in his testing of his humanity. He uses one thing, doctrine, the commitment of his own humanity, his person, in regards to Bible doctrine, and understanding it straightforward. That's all we need in the angelic conflict, is the resolution and the doctrine of which we learn to battle in the angelic conflict. Under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, etc. Obviously, Christ had the Spirit without limit, if you will. Satan has emotion. So that reflects the fact that emotions, or we understand, are generally associated with being part of the characteristics of the soul. Revelation 12:17, when he loses the Star Wars battle, he gets under immense anger. Anger is an emotion. It's a response, see. Response to a circumstance or situation or person that upsets the individual. And he's cast down, having great wrath, verse 12d, knowing that he is only a short time. So he operates with immense anger in the remaining aspect of the tribulational period, even beyond what anger he may harbor naturally. And verse 17, and then dragon was enraged with the woman as God delivers her, certain occupants, inhabitants of Israel at that point in time. He's capable of travel. There we had Job 1, 6 and 7, where Christ asked, or God, Yahweh, asked Satan where he's been. He said, been on the earth roaming about. Going here and there, see. Also 1 Peter 5, 8. Again, these are verses we've already looked at. Most of them more than once already, that he's roaming about on the earth like a roaring lion seeking to devour his prey. So he is mobile. He's obviously in the dimensional reality of how he's able to exist. He doesn't need sleep, things of this nature that we have to have. He's constantly on the move, while we have to have our breaks because of our human bodies. And if you will, get out of touch with reality and get into a deep sleep or whatever on occasion to re-energize. It's not that way with the angels. It won't be that way in our resurrection body either. So they are truly the epitome on the go 24/7, every second of that time, seeking to perform the agenda set out. And F, his intelligence is seen in the fact that he has a plan. He schemes. He has strategies. He's able to articulate. He's able to design. Ephesians 6:11. Obviously, we know he influences history, not only through individuals, but through very powerful individuals, leaders of nations, etc. He is part of an invisible force that surrounds us within our own atmospheric residence. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10, and the strength of his might. We have union with Jesus Christ because of our faith in his person. Make it count. Take up residence in that person by staying in fellowship and pursuing your NPR in life and applying Bible doctrine. And put your faith in his person and Bible doctrine as the remedy to handle all your tests in life. And in that way, you will find and possess a strength foreign to negative volition and mankind otherwise. Put on the full armor of God. It is a spiritual warfare, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And how he schemes is orchestrating behind the scenes certain things in life, utilizing negative volition, STAs, coordinating them in such a way that it meets the mechanics of his plan and agenda to try to upset the plan of God at any point and level that he can. See? We're getting our sleep. He's constantly thinking of more schemes all the time. How can I trip this believer up? What can I do here? How can I advance our front in the angelic conflict? He's constantly doing this. And your only protection, truly, in regards to the satanic onslaught, the spiritual butchering, and ultimate sin and the death that it brings about, is by putting on the full armor of God. For our struggle, and he goes on here, Paul does to Ephesian believers, to note that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not warring against the clans, the tribes of the 70 nations. That's not our real struggle. Let nations and their role take care of that aspect of it. But we as individual believers, our struggle, our conflict is spiritual in nature. No matter whether we're involved in a military type struggle, physically or otherwise, it's still spiritual. And it's not against flesh and blood. People are, if you will, not our real enemies, even though we understand that they're working for the enemy. But our real enemy is the invisible, evil, fallen angels headed by Satan that is manipulating the world, controlling it through the sin nature and their negative volition otherwise. but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual of wickedness in the heavenlies. Darth Vader's calling the shots. Let's see. Prince of Darkness. And it's all going behind the scenes. We can't see it. But we are experiencing it. It's having a direct effect on us. And we become targets and sometimes temporal casualties, if not complete. We get wounded on occasion. But we have the right prescriptions. We have the right med kit. The whole works is called rebound. Bible doctrine. The local church, God has given us all the defense we need to live in this kind of spiritual environment. To survive. And to be victorious. In spite of the apparent rout that the world is enjoying as we live today. This is the way the world sees it. They're becoming more and more victorious as they claim their, quote, freedoms. Understand, many of our freedoms are coming at the expense of loss of freedom. People don't put much value in regards to your personal choice in life. Insurance companies, that's the evidence of that. Well, you got to do this and do that in order to get a financial break. Well, you know, guess what? I'm going to pay a little bit higher because I value my choice in life a little bit more than that. See, stuff like that should get under your skin righteously so. That's going on around us all over the place in our society. So what if I don't want to wear a seatbelt and be ejected out of a car doing being crazy doing 120 miles an hour and die? That's my choice. Not yours, see. Obviously, we're not talking about choices that infringe on other people's rights. Wearing a seatbelt or not is not going to determine whether you kill somebody else or not. You have a seatbelt on, do the very same thing. But people don't think about that thing, those things around us often. Many do. But that's Satan, see. What he does is he provides these alternatives. He constantly provides these distractions, usually in realms of immorality, things of this nature. While we're constantly with technology being bombarded with the phallic cults and all the phallic symbolism and distractions in that regards, get your mind off what's really important in life. Constantly soliciting the sin nature. That's part of his scheming. That's part of his strategy. Just to see who he can knock off the straight and narrow. Really. I mean, who else would he go after most of all? Unbelievers? Heck, they're unbelievers. They're on his side. The reversionistic believer? It's already POW. Who's he going to go after? I mean, if you have any type of ambition whatsoever, you want to get the top dog. See? And those are going to be the main targets. Are going to be those people that are on doctrine. Stay in the course. Understand that. But we have our protection. We have our guardian. And that comes through the very person of God. The one whom Satan has decided to take on. Idiot. But you got to figure there's something that if this being is as intelligent as the Bible makes him out to be, he came up with something in his thinking to think that he had a shot at this. So anyway, two, as powerful as he may be, as dangerous as he is, He has his limitations. Still, everything is under the control of God himself. See? So one, although he has a long history, he's not eternal. He hasn't been around forever. God has. Obviously, he will live forever, much to his chagrin and suffering. Two, he is not omnipresent. While he can obviously transport himself in a blink of an eye, probably any place on this planet, and the third heaven, fairly that quick. And hence had that accessibility to try to coordinate and organize, etc. He's still not everywhere at once. God is. However, his army of demons enables him to rapidly gather information from around the globe. I guarantee you, they know that we're having Bible class tonight. Don't think that they don't. Any other church is teaching doctrine somewhere, they know that. Elect angels know it. You never know what kind of visitors you may have in your midst. Three, although he has accumulated a great amount of knowledge over the centuries and can monitor current developments worldwide via his demon army, he is not omniscient. Now, a third of the entire angelic host, as we know, rebelled with Satan under his influence. And he is full of wisdom. He can use doctrine in the most insidious ways to try to throw people off. And all this, again, comes through the manipulation and the help of people's sin natures. That's why you got to keep your emotions under control and keep your sin nature overruled, or else he will be victorious in regards to certain areas of doctrine that you'll find yourself rationalizing otherwise. Why I'm not going to apply this doctrine. Why it doesn't mean this to me, even though you know, it's taught that it should. Understand, he's brilliant, but he doesn't know everything. His weakness is obviously his blindness in regards to what God is and what he used to be. He still must learn, if you will, trial by error, just like any other being. He can't read your mind, thank God. But it doesn't mean that he probably doesn't have you figured out pretty well anyway. All you've got to do is watch it for a few days and what you do and your habits and things of this nature. And what we do overtly obviously reveals what's going on in our thinking to a great degree. For while he does possess great power, he is not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. Again, he remains under the constraints of God's sovereignty. No matter what he's trying to do, is still under the umbrella of a sovereign creator. So five, he is in every way inferior to God, against whom he has chosen to revolt. Part of Bible doctrine, the scriptures, it reveals to us these very facts. And essentially lets us know what's going on around us and what the conclusion ultimately is going to be, considering who the parties involved are. So six, the Word of God clearly indicates that Satan and the kingdom of negative volition over which he rules have a beginning and an end. Ultimately, it will fail. All that's going on around us, just like at the Tower of Babel, as God's word of that, the New World Order in its attempts to arise even with the strongest of personalities to influence and to gain power and control through the Antichrist via possession of Satan will fail. So there's certain things you can pray God cause to fall. Ultimately it will. So 7, his operation of evil is consistently viewed as existing for only a time under the permissive will of God. Again, he characterizes God's permissive will in all that he does. And God permits that evil to exist alongside that which is good that God's created, but it's only for a certain amount of time that the condition of his creation must exist in such an environment. It's all going to be laid to rest within the next millennium. Give me a couple years there. So, that's all going to be laid to rest. And we can forget about everything that's going on, that's going on around us, and live a life that's just going to... I can't express it. If I did too much, I'd want to leave right now. So, as that is, Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to utilize these things in Jesus' name. Amen.